really do like it when Barry leads singing, because he leads some of my favorite songs that over the years my range has limited me from leading those. So I really do. Master the Tempest is Raging, one of my all-time favorite songs. Delighted for the attendance that we have tonight. I was alarmed a little bit when Mike made the announcements. We certainly are going to add Mike to our prayer list. We know his doctors have been successful in the past. We'll continue to pray that they are successful. And I like the medical terminology he used, false alarm. We're hoping that it is a false alarm. But we have a tremendous amount of our membership that is needing surgery, suffering with other things, tests and treatments. It might be good a week or two after vacation Bible school if we did not have one of our Sunday night special prayer services. So we'll be planning for that. If you read the title of my lesson tonight in the Sunday sheet, or if you listened as I made mention of it in the announcements this morning, you might be a little bit confused. But that's not unusual when you're dealing with me. Confusion seems to be normal. The title of my lesson is Faith Comes in Cans. And I think all the confusion will be eliminated as we get into our study. You know, one of the most important factors for you and I as Christians to always remember is that we are different. We are peculiar, as Paul says, not peculiar in a negative way, but peculiar in a very positive way. We're peculiar because we've been called out of the world and called into the church of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Because of that, I think we need to remember some other factors when we are representing ourselves as Christians. For instance, that we must be born again. Now, that phraseology comes from John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, Jesus is encountered by a Jewish ruler of the people named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is interested in salvation. Jesus does not mince words. He said, most assuredly, I say unto you, except one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or enter the kingdom of God. We know that Jesus is talking about baptism because just a couple of verses later, he reiterates that and clarifies that. Again, he says, most assuredly, I say unto you, except one be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, once we have entered the kingdom of God, once we have been born again, once we've complied with the will of Jesus Christ, we need to realize that we just can't stop there. There's a phraseology that has been used by preachers long before me, stating that some people believe that once they come up wet out of the baptistry, they can just sit in the pew and never do anything ever again. That's not the case. We know that we begin as newborn babies, but just as physical newborn babies, God expects us to grow and mature. And we grow and mature based on one thing, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ. Brethren, the entire Christian system is based on faith in Jesus Christ. I was going to read Romans 1 verse 17. Let's go ahead and back up to verse 16. Where Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now that's the context of his message. He's not ashamed of the teaching of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I have lost that verse. For it, the gospel, is God's power to save to everyone that believes. I apologize. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is the part I have in my notes. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just or the righteous, the church, shall live by faith. In Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul makes a very, very unusual sounding statement. He said, it's no longer Paul. Paul has been crucified. It's Jesus that lives in Paul, and it's Jesus that lives in us. And the life that we live, Paul says, in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Now, to help us relate to our lesson, to help us remember the points of our lesson. I want to use that title really as a memory tool. Faith comes in cans. Now, I told you this morning, I'm going to talk about Popeye just for a moment. You know, when I was growing up, when a lot of us were growing up, the most violent shows on television were not the Westerns. They were not the dramas. They were the funny shows. The Three Stooges is the most violent show I think that's ever been on television. And the Coyote and the Roadrunner, one of the most violent shows in all of television. At some point in the show, the coyote is going to be smashed and crushed and beat, and then the Roadrunner is going to go beep, beep, and just run off. But my favorite was Popeye. My favorite cartoon is still Popeye. Popeye the Sailor. You know, the same thing would happen to him. Bluto would cause a fight, and he'd start smashing and crashing on Popeye until Popeye would say, "That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more." And he'd pull out that can of spinach and squeeze that can of spinach and eat that can of spinach, and then he would take care of Bluto. Even today, my favorite spinach is Popeye brand spinach because of that. But he would take care of that. His salvation came in a can of spinach. Well, our salvation comes not in a can of spinach, but in a can of faith. That's what we're trying to talk about tonight. The first can of faith that I want to talk about comes from a very familiar passage of Scripture, Philippians 3, verse 13. Let me personalize it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There's our can of faith. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Now, why can we do all things through Christ? Because Christ can do all things. And God the Father, the God of all power, can do all things. We can do it because of God. There is nothing God cannot do. There is no power that is so great it can stop God. God can do it. In Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah is speaking to God, speaking to God. He says, "Oh my Lord, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing you cannot do." There is nothing God cannot do. Job in Job 42 verse 2 says, "I know, God, that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld." Another patriarch that believed in the power of God, that God can do anything he wants to do, was Moses. Moses, I want to say, was the epitome of Old Testament patriarchs, used by God in such a tremendous way. He sent Moses basically all alone, though he had Aaron and he had the miracles, but basically all alone, he sent Moses to Pharaoh, the greatest king the world had ever known probably at that time, and he stood up to Pharaoh and demanded the release of the children. So Moses is most responsible for the release of the children from Israel. Moses is talking to God. It's recorded in Deuteronomy 3, 24. "Oh my Lord, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven and earth who can do anything?" Can they do anything? The answer is no. "Like your works and your mighty deeds." But brethren, here's the bottom line on this. If we believe that God can do anything, if we believe that we can do anything through Christ that gives us the strength, then we need to acknowledge that in our lives. We need to acknowledge that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, all the great heroes of faith listed there in Hebrews 11 and other Hebrews as well believed in God. Because of their faith, they did what God wanted them to do. And the question of the lesson is, not only for you, but also for me, Do we have that kind of faith? I say yes, that we do. Our next can of faith. Jesus can give us what we need. Now, brethren, it's very, very, very important. And I want to say this real emphatically, real plainly. It is essentially important for Christians to realize that Jesus is always on our side. You know, sometimes because of the problems of life, the problems we see in the world, the problems that affect our family, even our own health and well-being, we think, well, maybe God is not on my side right now. God is always on our side. Jesus is always looking out for us. We must believe that he can take care of our needs. Now, yes, there is a tremendous difference in what you and I might want and what you and I might need, but Jesus will take care of our needs. Again, Jesus uses this same terminology, John 16, 23. Most assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you ask of our Father in my name, he will give it unto you. And one of my favorite verses, 2 Peter 1, verse 3, God, according to his divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to godliness, through our knowledge of him, that is our knowledge of Jesus Christ, who called us by glory and virtue. And just briefly in passing, let's consider the incident in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus enters a house. A group of blind men go in behind him. They want to be healed. They know Jesus can do it. They've heard that Jesus can do it. Jesus says, "What do you want?" They want to be healed. He said, if you believe, if you have faith, you can. They express their faith and he heals them. And he says, he touched their eyes saying, according to your faith, let it be done. So Jesus cared about these blind men. Jesus cares about us. Jesus has promised to be with us to the very end. And we need to take advantage of that. Now, again, the question of our lesson. Do we believe that Jesus can take care of our needs? If so, we need to reach out to him. To the very end, Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus is more than willing, more than able to do that. Now, let me hasten to add this. Preachers are apt to remind us, and they should, that faith is an action word. Christianity is a religion of action. It's not a religion of casualness. Faith is an action word. Christianity is an action religion. We can't come to Jesus and then find a rocking chair somewhere and just rock the rest of our lives. It doesn't work that way. We can't come to Jesus and then go get back in the bed and take a nap for the rest of our lives. It just doesn't work that way. Faith needs substance. Faith needs evidence. There must be an action to our faith. The action of our heart, the faith in our heart must prompt us to do the things that we know God wants us to do. You know, Tommy, I commend him. He always reminds us in his prayer. There are things that we know we need to do. We do those things. And there are things we know we need to avoid. And we avoid those things. That's based on our faith. So we must have faith to do the things that God wants us to do. Otherwise, it's not faith. Matthew 17, verse 20, one of Jesus' most popular teachings. He said, you have failed because of your lack of faith, your lack of belief. He said, if you have as much faith as a tiny mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Brethren, we can do all things through Christ. He can provide for our needs. That's all based on our faith. So let me ask you, and as I ask myself, what do I want that I expect based on my faith for God to provide? What do I need based on my faith for God to provide? Is it of a congregational nature? God can provide. Is it of a family nature or an individual nature? God can provide. If it's a problem in the congregation, a problem at work, a problem at school, a problem in my own mind, God can provide. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He can provide for our every need. And as the song says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. May we be encouraged by these simple words. Perhaps tonight there's someone who needs to respond to our Lord's invitation. I think everyone here knows exactly what the invitation is all about. If it is you, we'll get Barry to go ahead and come forward. If you need to come, won't you come now as we stand together and as we sing?